power of prayer. We are going to be having in January a month of prayer and fasting, and we are going to be talking about prayer each week. We're going to have a week of prayer that we're going to be doing, and I'm just going to give us a little start on it this morning before we go into the Christmas season. And we are going to be talking about prayer, like I said, in January. It's going to be a good tithe on our year, basically. We're going to tithe that first month and just spend some time seeking the Lord for what we want to happen over the course of the year in our church. Basically, we all know it. Prayer is our way of communicating with God. It is a powerful tool that each and every one of us have within us. Every one of us can pray. Think about it. We can talk to God. We can talk directly to Him. We don't need a priest to do it. We don't need anybody to do it. Each and every one of us can pray to God. We're all on a equal field there. He wants to hear from each and every one of us. We all have the ability to talk to God. You know, we might not never get to talk to the President of the United States, but we can talk to our Lord and Savior, our Creator. He's made it that intimate with us. That's a pretty neat deal there. He wants to hear from us. And when it comes down to it, we all make excuses on why we don't do it. You know, we might say a little prayer over our meal. We may pray a little at night. But really, God wants so much more from us in our prayer life. He really wants us to dig in and to seek after Him with all our heart. The great revivalist evangelist Leonard Ravenhill once said, I'm going to read this to you. It says, "Poverty-stricken as the church is today in many things, she is most stricken here in the place of prayer. We have many organizers in the church, but few agonizers. Many players, but few payers. Few prayers, many singers, few clingers. Lots of passers, but few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, but few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere," he says. "We cannot have big results from our small praying." I like this here. "The law of prayer is the law of harvest. Sow sparingly in prayer, you're going to reap sparingly. But you sow bountifully in prayer, you're going to reap bountifully." I don't know about you, but what he said there encourages me that I need to be a man of prayer. I need to spend time in prayer. You know, we have that ability to talk to God, and yet we don't use it a lot of times. We might use it flippantly, but God wants us to really take hold and really start praying and seeking after Him. Think about it. Jesus, if we were to look back in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus would take regular times where He would go and try to get away from everybody because He wanted to spend time in prayer. He wanted to seek after the Lord. If He did it to His Heavenly Father, how much more should we do it to our Heavenly Father? I mean, He's deity. Well, this morning I want to look at the book of Acts here. We're going to read Acts chapter 16. And I want to talk to you this morning about basically Paul and Silas' story and how it regards to prayer. Quite a few verses here, 16 through 40. So Acts chapter 16, 16 through 40. It says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are servants of the Most High God, which show us unto the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast into the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out of his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in this house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and were baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into this house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words to the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them out to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Let's pray. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would just, your hand would be upon this service right now, Lord, that you would speak through me and use me, Lord, in regards to prayer this morning. I just praise you and thank you for that. And I thank you for working through me, dear God. And I pray that your word would be received today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, what was Paul and Silas going to do? Does anybody remember what Paul and Silas was going to do when all this happened? They were on their way to pray. They were going to a place of prayer. And they got off track. They got sidetracked when they were trying to go for prayer. And who was trying to sidetrack them? It was the devil. He was going through a demon-possessed woman, trying to distract them from going to the house of prayer, doing what the Lord wanted them to do. You know, they were basically placed in prison for delivering a demon-possessed woman. And the neat thing about it was that demon-possessed person recognized them immediately that they were men of God. He knew that they were men of God. Why? Because they were men of prayer. They were men that spent much time in prayer and knew God intimately. And really the only complaint that I could see in this whole passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 16 was the fact of this. Paul got annoyed with the lady because she kept on following them, saying, "These men are the most high men are the most high God. They've come to set you free." And she kept on saying that for days. And it just amazes me that Paul would let it go for that many days. I assume that he was waiting on to hear from God on that, and waiting to hear what God would think about it. But it went for days, and finally Paul, annoyed, turned around and said, Get out of her in the name of Jesus. And the demon fled. Well, the Bible said there that made the magistrate, it made her, basically her owners, because she was a slave, it made her owners upset because they were making all kinds of money from her doing fortune telling and things like that. But, and they had, really for no reason it seems like, that they got them both thrown into prison. They were both thrown into prison. And the neat thing is in verse 25 it says they prayed and they sang praises to God. I want to show you this morning, prayer can change a situation in your life. And I wrestled with that when I said that, because first I said prayer can change a situation in your life. But the fact is about it, when prayer changes a situation, it changes multiple things. It's not necessarily one thing that happens in your life, because your whole life turns around and goes a different direction. And things multiply can happen. Paul and Silas's prayer life, think about it. It changed a demon-possessed woman's life. She was set free. Changed her completely, her whole life around. Another thing that Paul and Silas' prayer life did, which it changed their situation in prison. I mean, an earthquake came, and the bonds, the stocks, and the chains were broken immediately, and they could have left. But they stayed right there. And because they stayed there, they were men of prayer. The third thing happened there. Their prayer life saved a jailer from killing himself. If they would have got up and said, "God set me free," and ran out the door, that jailer probably would have killed himself. But they sat there, and because they stayed there and said, "We're here," they were that jailer was saved from killing himself, and then not only that, but his whole family became saved and baptized. All because Paul and Silas were obedient. You know, many of you have experienced the power of prayer firsthand in your life. I know I have several times in my life. Many of you guys have heard my testimony. You know, my dad and mom, it's been 19 years ago, November 1996, since I gave my life back to the Lord. I think it was either this week or last week. It was really close to right about now that I gave my life to the Lord. I know it was November 1996. You guys know I was playing out in the bars. I was living in an ungodly relationship. I was living for myself. And during the whole time, my mom, anybody would ask her how I was doing, what's going on, she would just say, he's in his wilderness period. She wouldn't tell him that I wasn't serving the Lord or nothing. She'd just say, he's in his wilderness period. By faith, she was taking it, and she knew. And about 2 weeks before I gave my life to the Lord, their church went to a small church in Kingsford Heights, Indiana, and held a revival. And they gathered with about 10 people in a circle, 10 key people in my life that have impacted my life at different times in my life. They joined hands and they agreed for my salvation. And I believe immediately the Lord dispatched a 4-year-old boy, my cousin's son, which was 4 years old at the time, to call me and say, Matt, will you come to church with me? Prayer works, folks. I told him, yeah, I would come, and then didn't show up. And then 2 weeks later, or a week or so later, he called me back up and said, Matt, will you come? You told me you'd come to church with me, and you didn't. And I melted. And I went to the altar. I went to that night to church, felt the love of God, and went down to the altar and gave my life to the Lord. Folks, prayer works. You know, another thing that happened in my life was at the age of 15, I had snuck out of my mom and dad's house and went drinking with a friend. My friend was driving, and we flipped a car up on the side, and my arm was out the window. I shouldn't have an arm this morning. My arm was out the window, hanging up like that, when it went over on its side, and there just so happened to be a hole in the ground where the car landed. You guys can say it's luck if you want, but I know better than that. Because I would wake up, even during that time when I'm out drinking, doing things, I would wake up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, come out, and my mom was out there praying and reading the Bible in the living room. I would see the light on and come out there. Prayer works. And the neat thing about the prayer is it should change the situation in my life, but it keeps changing situations in my life. Because my mom was willing to pray, and those people were willing to pray for me 19 years ago. I'm right here right now. I'm doing worship here on weeks. And that's just because my mother spent time in prayer. Your prayers matter this morning. You sow bountifully in your prayers, you're going to reap bountifully this morning. I want to encourage you, it's time to pray. A flippant prayer, just, Lord, do this. Sometimes they work. But I'm telling you, if you spend time prayer and seeking after the Lord, things are going to change. He's done it in my life, and He'll do it in each one of yours. You know, another thing that prayer does is it draws us closer to God. Paul and Silas' relationship with God caused them to trust that their Heavenly Father would keep them safe. Enough that they were willing to be thrown into prison. The Bible doesn't say anything about them complaining about being thrown in prison. They were thrown in prison, and all they did was just move their prayer meeting. They were going to prayer at a prayer place, and they just moved it to the prison. They didn't care. They were still going to pray and praise God. Another place that did it is when they were in prison, just to stay there. And they, you know, even after they were released, they just went ahead and stayed there. And because of that, it was because they had that close relationship to God. You know the scripture, draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. These men were confident in their prayer life. They were confident of it, and they knew that God was going to help them in their time of need. Another scripture is 1 John 5:14 and 15. It says, "And this is the confidence that I have in Him, that whatsoever things..." I'm reading it in my memory. I better read it. "And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the request that we ask of Him." There's a confidence that we have when we're spending in time with prayer or spending time in the Word of God and spending time with God, that we are going to reap the benefits of what God you're praying about. You know that it's going to happen because you're spending time in prayer. It draws us closer to God. We need prayer in our life more than ever. You know, we have so many things going on in our life. We talk about how busy we are, how tired we are, how things are going on. And really, if we went and evaluated our life, a lot of time is spent on this. Our phones, our tablets, our TVs, things like that. If we really took a hard look back and looked back at what's going on, we would find that we're spending a lot of time, wasting a lot of time on silly things instead of wasting it with God, or not wasting it, but spending time with God. God wants us to spend time with Him, to seek after Him. You know, so we can hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us, to communicate with Him. To get back into we need to get back to the basics, basically, in our life. Just get back to a prayer life, getting by, spending back with God, and realizing that we need Him. Quit trying to do things on our own. So let's talk a few minutes here about how we can develop a better prayer life in our life. You know, the one thing I want to encourage us to do is to set goals. Setting goals is a key thing in our prayer life. I mean, I'm not talking about having a mechanical prayer life, but setting regular times that we can pray each day. Spending time with God. I mean, I spend a lot of time praying with God when I'm on my way to work. It takes me a half hour to drive to work, half hour to drive home. Good time to pray. Not read the Bible while I was praying, sorry, or driving. But I've been listening to Scripture. I'll listen to it sometime on my phone, play it when I'm driving home and have it playing, and just spend time and just with the Lord. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, I've had the opportunity to read a few books by him over the last few months. He's a great evangelist. If you've never read a book by Smith Wigglesworth, the man was a powerful man of God. I would encourage you to read him. Read any books you can find on him. Man's seen numerous healings in his life, people raised from the dead, lives changed completely through his ministry. He did not pray for long periods of time during the day, but he would spend, it said if he went 10 to 15 minutes without having God in his conversation or anything, he was down on his knees repenting, bowing his head and repenting to God. He involved God in every conversation he could. He spent time in prayer every day, spent time reading the Word. And because of that, he's seen numerous things happen in his life. You know, I'm not saying that we have to be like Smith Wigglesworth by any means, but I would like to say there's something to be said about having a goal set. By setting a goal that I'm going to regularly pray each day, I'm going to spend so much time a day in prayer. You know, this year I set a goal for riding my bike. I know I talk about that all the time, sorry. But I set a goal of riding 2,000 miles on my bike. I hit it about 2 weeks ago. And if I would not have set that goal, I probably would have gave up because the weather started getting colder. But because I set that goal, I kept striving for it. Well, it's that same way in our prayer life. We need to continuously try to up our ante and really get closer to the Lord and more in our prayer life. You know, how much time do we want to spend praying each day? Tell the Lord, begin to make a commitment there, and then act on it. You know, another thing we can do other than setting goals is to pray specifically. Our prayers need to be specific. When we're praying for something, don't pray a vague prayer like, "Lord, I just pray that you would touch my body and heal my body." Tell the Lord exactly what you need a healing from. Begin to just ask Him to heal your body. Thank Him for healing your body and begin to seek after Him. Give Him the credit for what He's done in our life. Don't just pray it, but when you've got healed, when that thing has happened in your life, when you've been set free from that thing or healed in your body, go back and be like the 10 lepers, that one leper that goes back and gives thanks in his life. We need to go back and give Him thanks for it. Thank Him for meeting the needs in our life. That means that may or may not have been answered. Your need may not have been answered yet, but I want to encourage you to begin to thank the Lord for that need. Because His Word, if you need a healing in your body, His Word already says, by Your stripes we are healed. Begin to thank Him for that healing, even if you don't have it yet. If you're interceding for others, we should pray for them one by one, by name, and for specific needs in their life. If we are praying for ourselves, we should pray for specific needs and problem areas in which He has led us to pray. You know, another thing we need to do is not just pray specifically, but pray for others. There is so much value in your praying for others. It's so fulfilling to pray for others. You know, a lot of times people use that statement that I'll pray for you. But few do it. I don't know about you guys, but I want to be a person that when I say I'm praying for you, that I'm really doing it. And it just doesn't seem like, it seems like empty words a lot of times when you hear that from people these days. And I realize people in this church are saying it, but I see it all the time on Facebook and things people say that I'm praying for you. And I wonder, are they really praying for them? Spend time praying for others. There's nothing like it. It's more beneficial to put others first in your prayers. It's an awesome feeling to pray for others, you know, to lay hands on somebody that's sick and them to be healed and to think, God used me on that. Nothing like it in the world. Just to pray for somebody and find out they were being healed and realize, you know, hey, I prayed for them. God's healing them. There's nothing like that feeling in the world. And we're not doing it for the glory by any means, but it's just a crazy feeling to know that God is using us to heal people. Another thing I want to encourage you to do is pray God's Word. There are so many scriptures out there that you can personalize and make your own. Praying God's Word is a powerful thing. It can help enrich your prayer life. You know, I try to pray Psalm 51 every day. Just have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight. And then it goes on to say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, O Lord, and take not Your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with the right hand of Thy righteousness. There is power in you praying scriptures. The Ephesians 1 prayer of Paul, Ephesians 3 prayer of Paul, powerful scriptures. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. There's so many powerful scriptures out there that you can pray and begin to pray in your life and enhance your prayer life. And lastly, I want to mention to you, all these things are good things to enhance your prayer life, but the biggest thing that you can do is pray in the Spirit. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to do that. It can be the most powerful tool you've ever used in your life, but you got to use it. Can you be saved without being in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Sure you can. But the fact is about it, you can drive a Volkswagen or you can drive a big muscle car, for lack of a better way of saying it. I choose to drive the big muscle car. Romans 8, 26 through 27 says, like, well, not in real life, I got a Toyota Corolla, but. I would like the big muscle car. Romans 8, 26 through 27 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Praying in the Spirit helps our weaknesses. It builds us up. It helps to encourage us. It helps us to have that strong relationship in the world. Lord, it helps our prayer life. I want to encourage you to pray in the Spirit. Spend time every day praying in the Spirit. It's not a dormant gift that you just use on Sundays. It's a gift that you can use every day of your life. And it can empower you and make your life richer. I want to encourage you to do that. 1 Corinthians 4:14-2 says, for he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. You're speaking directly to God. You're bypassing your intellect. You're bypassing what your flesh does. You're praying directly to God. And praying, the Holy Spirit's praying directly to God through you. And therefore, it is powerful, the word that's going on there. So my challenge to you this morning is pray. For lack of a better word to say it, pray. Spend time in prayer. I want to encourage you to begin to just spend time setting goals and begin to seek after the Lord and pray. Enhance your prayer life. We're going to be coming up on January. We're going to be spending a month of prayer, doing some fasting during that time, and really seeking after the Lord for our church. I want to encourage you to begin to pray and to seek God and just prepare yourself and already start lining yourself up where you're praying more for coming up in January. It's going to be a powerful time. And I want to see this, you know, there's a lot of churches out there today that are going after presentations. They're going after the skilled thing. I would much rather see the power of God move in a service and lives be changed in the service than to see just entertainment factor in a church. I want to see the power of God move in this place. I don't know about each and every one of you, but I want it. And that comes through prayer. That comes through spending time in prayer and seeking after the Lord. So let's go ahead and bow our heads. Let's go ahead and stand together, if you would. Stand together. Father, I just pray right now, Lord, that your hand would be upon each and every person in this congregation right now. That you would begin to speak through them right now and use them, Lord God, that their prayer life would be enhanced, Lord God, that they would begin to spend more time in prayer every day, that we would begin to enhance our prayer, that we begin to seek after you, Lord, that we begin to go after you with all of our heart and all of our mind, all of our soul, dear God. Lord, that you would set a fire within us, Lord God. We thank you and praise you for that, Lord, that we would have a deeper prayer walk with you, that we begin to speak in tongues every day and we would pray every day, that we would pray your word, that we would pray for others, Lord, that we would make a commitment, that we would be prayer warriors, Father God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that, Lord. Glory to your name. Go ahead, Becca. Or Emma.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control.